Welcome to Church 307 Podcast, Wyoming's online church. It's Monday. It's 4 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, and we're glad that you're here. Hey, if you get into the chat, let us know you're here. Also, if you have questions, we will do our darndest to answer those questions and communicate with you through the episode. If you like it, would you please give it a thumbs up? If you share it with your friends, we'd really appreciate it. And if you subscribe, then you'd know next Monday it's 4 o'clock. We are glad that you're here. Grant, roll it.
Yep, yep. Send it.
All right. We are here with Mr. Reverend Mike.
We're back.
We're here.
This is like our dinner table. We're just here every week.
This is tabletop time.
Tabletop. And we have a special guest today.
The most specialist.
Someone we know very well, but you probably don't. Her name is Sarah McCormick.
Hello, hello.
Sarah is the youth pastor here, and she is the one of us that cares about teenagers.
I do, very much.
Actually, we all care about teenagers, but not
but I
all
like them.
You like them. And you can communicate with them.
I try.
Most of us look at them like they're aliens, but Sarah's good with them.
It is definitely a foreign language.
It is, yes.
These days, yeah.
She was just explaining to us how TikTok works, because we are TikTok
illiterate.
It completely. But Sarah is helping us out in the area. Today we are talking about representing your faith, sharing your faith with others, and what better person to talk with than the person who deals with people who have the hardest time with it.
So teenagers. Yep.
And your mug says, Mama Bear, does that reference your ferociousness in defending your children?
Yes. My extended family, too, which is the teenagers.
You like a grizzly, Kodiak?
Well, black bear.
Gaw, dang, climbing trees these days.
Mm-hmm.
Gaw.
It's my favorite leisurely activity. If you don't see me in the office, you see me in a tree.
Yeah.
Double threat. Planes and I don't even know if black bears climb trees.
I don't know.
No clue.
But I think grizzlies are too big. I think the trees would fall over because I've seen enough documentaries like The Jungle Book to know that bears can do things.
Nice.
Yeah. Anyway.
My nickname in a previous life was Mowgli.
Really?
Nope. So if you watched the first episode of this podcast, you saw the one with which we had my wife, Darcy Wilson. They are both on staff here, Sarah and Darcy, and they get confused. People confuse you often.
Right. Usually when I wear my hair up, because it's
the
same.
Always wears her hair up.
Yeah. Except for today.
How many times a month would you say people think you're Darcy?
How many Sundays are there in a month?
Yes. So
that many.
That many. Okay, cool. So today we are talking about sharing your faith with others. And largely it was this whole conversation came from when I read some Barna study that I'd like to start off with. The first thing that I noticed in here, it says more than 60% of born-again Christians in America between the ages of 18 and 39, so millennials, believe Jesus is not the only path to salvation. And that's a big deal because whether or not you believe Jesus is the only way to heaven kind of determines what you do with it. If you think Jesus is just a way,
right?
You could pick Buddha or Muhammad or good works.
What's your, is it a religious following or is it a standard of ethics?
Yeah.
Do they go into that?
I don't think they go into they talk about it a little bit in the assessment of the survey, but I don't think the survey itself answers that question.
Okay.
People could be answering it. They just say, pick your truth.
Right.
I got my truth. You got your truth. Pick your truth, and your truth can determine your way to heaven. But if you believe like us that the only way to heaven is what Jesus said, is through him, then that kind of determines what you do with it. And if you believe that all your friends are going to hell unless they have Jesus, then you want to tell them the good news. Hey, I got good news for you. There's a way to heaven. Bad news is you're on your way to hell. And so the problem is because 60% of them believe that you can take any path you want, almost half of practicing Christian millennials in America say evangelism is wrong.
So sharing your faith with others is wrong.
Yes. just, it's not that not everybody's called to it or only some people are supposed to do it. It's just blatant. It's wrong to enforce your beliefs on other people.
It's very strong language. I feel like it's not just discouraged. It's they see it as wrong.
Yeah.
It baffles me. But I will say we had life group yesterday and a person in my life group said that does not surprise her at all. She said, we live a pretty easy life as Christians here in Gillette. But she is from Chicago and she,
Chicago.
Illinois. And
nice harmonized there.
We're good at it. I mean, this, yeah.
Welcome.
Yeah.
But she said, she got to a point, went at her job where there was just, she was scrutinized for her faith every day. Like, why do you believe the things you believe? Don't you see the church and what they're doing? And so she said she got so tired of it, they moved. Like she was, so she said once she moved here to Gillette, it was like, wow, this is much easier to be a Christian here.
And we're not even in the Bible Belt.
We're not.
I mean, we're still outside the Bible Belt, but there's a spectrum in even in America and across the world of how hostile the people are toward.
Actually, it's interesting. Yeah, because I was talking to my father-in-law, and they don't talk about their faith. They live in Germany, and no, you don't invite people to church, and you do not talk about your faith.
That's just a cultural reality, or they don't believe you should.
It's a cultural reality. I hope I'm not saying that incorrectly, but we're talking about how, because they moved to Alabama when their kids were young, and people at the plant, I mean, they were invited like 15 churches when they got to the States, but in their town where they live, it does not come up in conversations. You don't. So
we've seen the other end of the spectrum too, where people are just hostile toward it. In our, we have a New Life Kids Facebook group that my wife manages, and a atheist group has decided that they are going to attack our Facebook page. And so if she posts anything about children's ministry, they get on there, and within minutes, you'll have dozens of people who will post, "You're groomers," or "You're brainwashers," or "You should be outlawed," and all this other stuff about how terrible we are for sharing our faith with our children.
Right.
To those of us who believe, we actually care about our kids. Mm-hmm. So if we believe the truth is the only way to heaven is Christ, we care about them. Also, we believe that people who adopt the Christian faith into their life live healthier lives. Why wouldn't we want to share that with our kids? Mm-hmm. I tried to have that conversation with one of these people who was posting on the Facebook page, and they did not receive my comments well.
They didn't get saved.
They did not. That is not how the conversation concluded. Mm.
I think an interesting part about that is there is a, just kind of like maybe the culture war, maybe it's Christianity is a little bit more, or it can be just divisive. Yeah. Not that Christianity should be. But
in a way, it should be. I mean,
correct. Yes, it is going to be counter to the culture, right?
Yep.
I don't know if that's, I kind of cut you off, but I do feel like there are so many things that our culture is okay with evangelism, just not Christian evangelism.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, we can talk about, and you could take it through science, diets, exercise, fashion.
Everybody's evangelizing something.
We are. I mean, you're constantly being evangelized too.
Yeah, and there's some things that are more polarizing to evangelize than others. I mean, you wear a MAGA hat.
Sure.
You're evangelizing for something.
Right.
That's polarizing.
Mm-hmm.
Green New Deal or whatever it is.
Yeah, just slap politics on it, and you're going to be.
That's a little polarizing. Yeah. However, there's other things you can evangelize for that are pretty universally supported. But everybody's evangelizing for something.
Correct.
It is difficult in our world to evangelize for Christianity because it is kind of saying our way or no way. Like we are saying our way is the only right way. And so it's a little polarizing in that way.
Sure, which you could argue every religion is.
Yep, just about all of them.
I mean, most of them are arguing that there is the correct way.
Yep. And even people who would say they're not religious, atheists would say they're not religious. We would say, no, that's just your religion.
Right.
But they would say, no other way is right. There is no God. There's no absolute truth, and I know that absolutely true.
Right.
Like, So everybody's got their truth statements.
Well, yeah, and I guess and to make it like to make my comment not so divisive, or I'm not attacking. Like, I've stumbled upon an album last week, and the first thing I did with all my friends is share it.
Yeah,
because I was like, this is meaning something to me. I want to share this.
Thank you for that, by the way.
Yeah. And when you say album, you don't mean a photo album. That was
no, I'm sorry. Yeah. And honestly, I think that, well, it was. It was pictures of me in a bathtub.
Okay.
And I had spaghetti smeared all over my face.
I take my thank you back. That's right. Not...
picture of my... Yeah. an artist. Judah, I believe, is the artist's name. But, so that would be mine. But like, if you watch Netflix, I mean, people will be evangelizing for you need to watch this show.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Binge it this weekend. Do it.
Yep. And nobody's like, how dare you?
Right.
Right.
How dare you tell me about your show? It's so offensive.
Right. So, yeah. So like when I get in this conversation, it's like, but if this is a meaningful thing that's impacting your life, mm-hmm. which hopefully your relationship with Jesus is that thing. Like, and you see it. You see that when people first experience the freedom and the love of Jesus, they're like, I need to tell everybody about this, this thing.
Yep.
So it makes sense that Christians, I mean, we're commanded to, but also that we'd want to evangelize.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because we do it in so many.
If we care about people.
Guys, I found this TikTok recipe and it was num-nums.
Never been on TikTok.
Oh, you're right. I didn't find it.
So the passage we're talking about today is the story that many of you have heard. It's where Peter follows Jesus to Caiaphas's house after Jesus is arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. And Peter's following behind, just kind of watching at a distance as Jesus is arrested, taken into the house and interrogated. And Peter is warming his hands by a charcoal fire outside of Caiaphas's house. And some little girls come up to him and say, hey, aren't you? I'm pretty sure you have a Galilean accent. Aren't you one of Jesus's followers? And he's like, nope, I don't know the dude, which is so weird because a couple hours earlier, Peter said, I will never deny you. I'll go with you to the death. And now he's denying Jesus. And it happens.
I can't look it up, but I was just reading through the Gospels. He cut some dude's ear off earlier that night.
Yeah. He was ready to die.
And I'm pretty sure that either the guy whose ear was cut off, he's like, yeah, I saw you at the garden.
Yeah.
He's like, well.
It wasn't me. It was dark.
Gosh, dude, I don't know what some wine you've been drinking.
Yeah. And so, like right up to the end, he's ready to fight and die and do whatever it takes. Yeah. But then he's got this realization where he's like, oh, wow, Jesus is going to die. And so in Peter's mind, he's lost. Mm. And if we've lost, there's no reason to keep fighting. Mm. And so Jesus sees his death as a victory. Peter sees Jesus' death as a loss. And so as soon as Peter thinks, and I'm kind of doing a little guessing here, but I think there's evidence in the text as well. As soon as Peter thinks they've lost, he quits fighting. And so he denies three times. The rooster crows, which by the way is a trumpet blowing, not an actual rooster. Trumpet blew to signify that Sabbath is here. He hears the trumpet. He runs away. Runs out of the garden, or I mean out of the courtyard, crying, and goes back to fishing, goes back to his other life, assumes this is all over and done. And the question I think we have to ask is why? If Peter can deny Christ, if Peter can deny being a Christian, then how could we be so arrogant to say we won't? I grew up in a church that used to always talk about left behind stuff like the mark of the beast and if you don't deny your faith, then we'll cut your head off in the guillotine and all this other junk that's not in the Bible. And I grew up just terrified. I couldn't sleep at night because I was thinking, if the Antichrist told me to deny my faith or get my head cut off, would I get my head cut off? And I was just terrified by this idea. And I think all of us have a little bit of that, whether you believe all that stuff or not. All of us have a little bit of that fear. Like, if I was really put to the fire,
right,
would I stay loyal to Jesus? Would I stay strong in my faith or not? Or would I run away like Peter?
Right. And I don't come into contact with this thing very often.
Yeah.
Because I work here and hang out with people who attend here. Mm. But what about youth? Do youth kids have a harder time with?
We just got out of a series that was all about evangelism this past month. And it's wild the excuses teens will come up with to not talk about their faith. And I get, like, I was a teen once, and of course it's scary. I just don't remember ever making up that many excuses, or like, I'll say, you know, invite your friends. Oh, well, I invited them once and they told me no, so I'm never going to ask them again because that was embarrassing. And I'm like, oh, well, keep going, like, keep inviting them. And it's, so I think it's harder for them socially, anything social, they seem awkward about it. And I don't know if that's just, well, social media and technology, I think, has drawn a divide between their physical, like, being able to be in the same room and have a conversation together. That's not awkward.
I think part of this is a decision that Christians have been trying to make for a long time is, am I going to have a segmented faith where my Christianity is just a part of me? It's just something that I do. It's not my entire identity yet. And when a teenager gets, or when anybody gets to the spiritual maturity where they're ready to make their Christian faith their entire identity, then it becomes less difficult to tell the world about your faith and tell people what you believe. But as long as it's segmented, you kind of like to be this person in front of this group and this person in front of this group, and we just kind of have different identities until it's all one big thing. I think that's why I've had this conversation with some people where I say, hey, start with social media. Start adopting changing your social media habits so that the things you post, I'm not saying everything you post has to be a Christian quote. I'm just saying,
when the Lord closes the door, he opens a window.
Oh my.
If you posted that, it would get so many likes. I'm not saying that you have to post everything on your social media, but like, change the way you do social media, like represent your faith well in the way you do social media and the way you comment on other people's things, the way you handle disagreement and those type of things, so that when you do share something, when you get up the courage to share something on your social media that is about your Christian faith, then people are more open to hearing it. Because then
I noticed your shirt, Mike.
It's very intentional, guys.
Yeah, I didn't think your behavior at lunch would justify you wearing that shirt today.
We're going to talk about that. You promised.
Yeah.
This shirt is a, what do you call it, object lesson of the day. Because I think if you ever decide in the morning, I'm going to put on a Christian t-shirt, you have to not have a lunch like we had today.
Right. Go.
You have to decide that morning, you know what, I'm going to behave today. Because now everybody knows I'm a Christian. And if I act like an idiot, people are going to think idiots are Christians. Like, that's just the reality. So I have to make a conscious decision, if I put on this shirt, that I'm going to represent Christ well. And I think as soon as we go public about our faith, we make that decision. Does that mean we're going to be perfect? No.
Right.
Jesus didn't invite Peter to follow him and say, all right, we're going to get you perfect, and then we're going to go on a journey.
Which is probably the fear of a lot of people.
Yeah.
I mean, or the fear.
Yeah.
I can say it's my fear.
Yep.
Pretty easily.
And Peter initially has that reaction.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus says, follow me. And Peter falls at Jesus' feet. And he's like, leave me. I'm a sinner. I don't even deserve to be near you. Get away from me. And but instead, Jesus says, no, follow me, and I will make you a fisher of men. Mm. And I think that's what he does for all of us. Don't clean everything up and get right, and then follow me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's like, wear the t-shirt, even if you're going to screw up.
I think the best example of this is Tracy, our maintenance guru. I remember one time in a staff meeting or somewhere, I can't remember, but he said, because he's always wearing New Life gear. I feel like every day he has something New Life on, and he's constantly at Menards or Home Depot, not constantly. He does other things, but I remember him saying, like, I want to represent our church and Christ well in our community, and I want people to know that that's where I go, you know? And so I just always think of him and being that example. And yeah, does he cuss? Mm-hmm. Yep. But does he love Jesus? Yeah. And so, and I know anybody who would ask him, you know, why are you the way you are? He would point it back to Christ. And I just think that's pretty cool.
You were talking earlier about wearing Christian t-shirts and how your husband does it.
He does. Yeah. I always make fun of him because he buys, it seems like the most corniest ones, but it's fine. He wears them on purpose because he works at a coal mine and he loves wearing his Christian t-shirts there because he just wants to represent Christ. And he loves it when people come up to him and ask him, what's that mean? Or because he just is very good at talking to people about his faith and he loves those type of conversations. And he
has one that says porn kills.
He does. Yeah, he does. That he wears to work on a regular basis.
Jump into the fire there.
Oh my. Yeah, he's had conversations with people and it's, I always love hearing about it. And I'm like, I can't do that. I don't know how you do that, but you're awesome at it. And he has invited many people to our church, many of who are still coming. One of them is now my youth volunteer and she works with him. And so it's like, he's just very good at evangelizing in that way. And he uses Christian t-shirts as an avenue to do it.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. And so. I think it's helpful to recognize also, you don't have to be an extrovert to share your faith. If you do it, I mean, you can find ways to do it, even if you're not a Kale. Mm-hmm. I mean, my wife is an introvert to the core, and she intentionally wears Kansas City Chiefs t-shirts or hats or jackets or whatever all the time because it's something that she can share with me. It's a topic she can get on, and it helps her in conversations. Right. And I think we can be, in all of the way that we communicate and all the way we interact, we can be intentional about starting conversations, building relationships. And if Kansas City Chiefs conversations is an inroad for me to tell you about one Kansas City Chief that I know that is passionate about Jesus Christ, or if I can come up with a segue, like I'm going to use this conversation piece to get us on topic. And then I've got a segue about how I'm going to move it to the right conversation. I wear Jayhawks. I love to tell about a guy that I've met. He's the chaplain of the Kansas Jayhawks, and he's got an unbelievable story. So I love telling that story because it's a segue in to talk about our faith.
Is it hard after the Big 16, whatever they call that thing?
Big 16.
I didn't mean to, Mike. I didn't know they were out.
Mitch,
I heard it didn't go well.
Mitch is such a
I can't even burn you
fan of it. College basketball.
Yeah, his phone's out just so he can check the scores. Oh, yeah.
What are you guys doing right now?
My Jayhawks lost, and we're still mourning. And Mitch is making fun. Yep. So that's what's happening. But
in love,
I think we can be strategic in the way that we do that. Yep. So bringing it back to Peter, Peter is denied Christ. Jesus goes to the cross. After 3 days, he raises from the dead, appears to a bunch of his followers. And then we get this story, and we're not exactly sure how long after Jesus appears to the disciples that this story happens, but the disciples have gone back to fishing. And again, they can't catch anything. I want to know why the disciples sucked at fishing so bad. Every story.
It was their job, right?
How are you not better at this by now?
Is it magic bait? What is it? What's the stuff people use?
I don't know what magic bait is.
I don't know.
There's such a thing as magic bait?
I don't know.
Clickbait? No, that's YouTube.
Yeah,
okay.
Clickbait. That's what they needed.
Right. Yeah. They could not catch a fish. Maybe they were fishing in the Dead Sea instead of the Sea of Galilee. I don't know. But Jesus comes up to them while they're fishing, and he's standing on the beach. He starts a fire. It's a charcoal fire, by the way. Second time, and only two times in all of Scripture, it mentions a charcoal fire. And the first time was when Peter denied Christ. And he's standing by this fire, and he shouts out to the disciples, who can't see who he is because it's at night. That's when you fish. And, hey, throw your nets on the other side of the boat. They're like, well, this side's not working. Okay. So they throw their nets on the other side of the boat, and all of a sudden they're catching boatloads of fish. And Peter realizes, oh my goodness, this is Jesus. Uh-huh. And he jumps out of the boat and he swims to the shore, and Jesus is cooking some bread and fish on the charcoal fire. And there's this beautiful interaction between Peter and Jesus. Jesus says, Peter, do you love me? actually says, "Do you love me unconditionally?" Peter says, "I love you like a brother." Jesus says, "No, do you love me unconditionally?" Peter says, "Jesus, you know I love you. I love you like a brother." Jesus lowers the standard and says, "Okay, Peter, do you love me like a brother?" Peter says, "I love you." And Jesus says, "Okay, then feed my sheep." He goes back to the invitation to be a discipler, to take the baton pass from Jesus, and the same kind of invitation that he gave him when he said, "Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men." And I think this beautiful three-time opportunity to repent that Jesus gave Peter. And even though he has denied Jesus, he is being reinstated. You would assume that denying Jesus is the unforgivable sin, right?
You would assume that, yeah.
I mean, if my invitation to follow Jesus is to proclaim with your mouth, to confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe with him in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then wouldn't doing the opposite be the unforgivable sin? Wouldn't that be blaspheming the Holy Spirit? Apparently not, because Peter denied Christ and Jesus gave him this beautiful opportunity to repent, and he does.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't remember the exact, but he does. I mean, does he deny being a disciple, or does he deny? It doesn't really matter. Kind of splitting hairs here. Or does he deny who Jesus was?
Yeah, he in the courtyard. They ask, "Aren't you one of Jesus' followers?"
And you could say, no.
Yep.
But does that mean you're really denying his lordship? Right. I mean, I'm splitting hairs.
Yeah, I know. I think it's a great question. I think I don't think Peter. Maybe he questioned whether or not Jesus was Lord in that moment, but I think he was the real denial was denying the plan. Wait, I wanted to be a governor in your kingdom, Jesus.
Right.
I wanted power. Now you're saying the plan is for you to die? I was okay with everything else. There's a story in Mark where Jesus takes Peter and the other disciples to Caesarea Philippi, and he says, "Who do you say I am?" Peter says, "You're the Messiah." And he says, "You heard that from God. That came straight from God. You hear from God." And so Peter knew. But he didn't want to accept that it wasn't an earthly kingdom.
Mm. Yeah, as if like you mentioned it earlier, but feeling like the plan had fallen apart.
Yeah,
you said that like the plans had changed at this point. Jesus was dead, and humanly, I understand that. At that point, I don't know if I was in Peter's sandals. They didn't have kicks. I might have done the same thing, maybe worse. I don't really know, but that would be a weird spot to be, especially if you're thinking that you would be like a number two, and now it's all falling apart.
And you were saying earlier that we, in hindsight, knowing about forgiveness, knowing about grace, and the whole, in hindsight, we know the whole story.
Yeah.
Peter didn't have all that information.
He did not.
Right. He didn't know. He Jesus had kind of prophesied it a little bit, but Peter didn't want to hear it.
Right.
So he wasn't listening.
Yeah.
So we have hindsight he didn't have.
Yeah, right.
Which I think would be so much more scary. I mean, you deny being a follower, and what happens then? Like, I don't know. So I just think in my mind that would be even more scary. Like, am I going to be forgiven? I don't know.
Yep.
I don't know.
So then Peter does have a repenting. So repent means to change your mind. And so Peter does have a repenting moment here over this fire, because we see later he's preaching repentance. He's leading 3,000 people in Acts 2 to follow Christ. And eventually he goes to his death. He's beheaded for Christ. So obviously he had this mind change moment. One of the times when Jesus, I'm going to read the passage.
Uh-huh. Please do.
He's talking to Peter, and Peter reprimands Jesus because Jesus predicts his death. Peter says, "No, Jesus, don't talk like this." Peter said, "Get behind me, Satan," or "Get behind me, tempter. Don't tempt me because I don't want to do it. But I'm telling you, it's going to happen. I'm going to die, and then I'm going to resurrect." And then Jesus says to Peter, "You are seeing things merely from a human point of view, not from God's. If anyone..." So in other words, your mind isn't renewed yet. You're not seeing things the way that I see things. "If anyone is ashamed of me and my message in these adulterous and sinful days," says everybody in that survey who won't share their faith, "the Son of Man will be ashamed of that person when he returns in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Hey, Peter, if you're ashamed of me, if you deny me, then I'll be ashamed of you. And I think the idea that Peter in the courtyard is wrestling with, and his mind has obviously not been renewed, is that God's plan really is for Jesus to die. And his mind had not been renewed. Right. I think all of us need that renewal moment, right?
Mm-hmm. Very much so.
A time when we realize, oh, my ideas may not be the best ideas.
Yeah, there's a time, I mean, and you talked about this. I think this is the where your mind gets offended by the gospel.
Yeah. It's not my good works are going to get me there.
Right.
What's something else that would, about the gospel or about something that Jesus teaches that's just flies in the face of what you would think naturally or what maybe you did think earlier in life?
Do I hit it?
I think for me, a big one was when I learned that God does not need me to accomplish his mission. Mm. I was offended because I like to be needed. And when I learned about that, it was like, cause I was putting God in a box saying, no, you need me.
Yeah.
You need him too. And her. No, he doesn't. He's all powerful. He's sovereign. He does not need me. So when I learned that, I learned to actually rely on him and to trust in him and just say, I will do the best I can today for you, not because you need me, but because I want to. And that was a big step in my faith, I would say.
After church yesterday, a lady came up to me and she was struggling because I did not do an altar call. I shared most of the salvation message, but I never like gave people an opportunity to give their lives to Christ. And she came up to me kind of panicked, thinking, if somebody dies today, they heard all the information, but they didn't actually do the action of receiving. And her fear was that I didn't close the deal. And I used to have that fear a lot. I used to finish every single message thinking I fell short. I didn't do enough. Until it was actually Pastor Paul who helped me to begin to see the Holy Spirit is going to do what I cannot do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's not so dependent on me that if I don't say every single word just correctly, the Holy Spirit can speak to people things that I cannot. Thank you, Lord, that I'm on this side of the resurrection so that you can do what I can't. And right. So he doesn't need me.
Right, yeah. I think often, like for my, what has offended me about the gospel typically is, it's like anytime that, and you kind of mentioned this too, like you're not needed or my works are not going to do it. Like there's been things about how forgiveness is a big one. Like the amount of forgiveness that Christians are called to,
mm-hmm.
the amount of servitude that we are called to put ourselves second. There's so many things that just, I mean, just look at the gospel. And they're so counter or upside down of what the earthly kingdom is.
Right.
There's just so many things inside the heaven.
Backward.
Yeah, it's just so backwards that it's easy to be like, oh, I was wrong about that. Now I'm a little upset, but I'll think
through it. Yesterday after church, a lady asked me, how do I know which of the Old Testament rules we're supposed to follow and which ones we
right,
aren't?
There we go.
And we started having a conversation. She actually said, I know we're supposed to follow the ones that Jesus quoted, but what about the rest of them? And so we had this awesome conversation, and you can tell the whole time we're having the conversation, she's just having mind-blowing moments about Old Covenant, New Covenant, and how was Jesus the fulfillment of the Old Covenant. And you could tell in that moment she was having a mind-renewing
mm-hmm.
of what it looked like to actually be adopted into the body of Christ.
Right.
I met with a friend, this was a couple years ago. She was a new Christian, and we met at Pizza Carillo's, shout out. Mm-hmm. I remember she was wearing a hat. She had just shaved off all of her hair because mm-hmm. she just was going into the military, and she was wearing a hat, and she was like, I'm so sorry I shaved my head. And I was like, what are you talking about? She was like, I was reading in the Bible in the Old Testament this morning that's wrong. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, that is so not true. That is not, yeah. All those rules,
yeah.
They were rules. This, you live in freedom.
Yeah.
Like Jesus loves you no matter what hair you have or lack thereof.
Yeah. Yeah. Those rules were written to a specific people group in a specific time for a specific purpose. But the but even what she's doing there, shaving her head, have you ever seen those videos of the cancer patients who have to shave their mm-hmm. heads and then the barber turns around and shaves his own head?
Mm-hmm. Like, I cry every time.
Yeah, me too. Man, gets me right there.
Mm-hmm.
Share that on your social media.
Which Mitch, is why Mitch, I have it.
Mitch is real active on social yeah. media. He knows all about it.
Mm-hmm.
So what has now happened is this barber who's shaved his head for this purpose is now wearing a Christian t-shirt. Like, he is now, everywhere he goes, he is telling a story. He's representing his ideas and his beliefs in what he looks like. I think that is what Jesus was instructing the Jewish people to do. The reason why they were supposed to wear their hair a certain way or wear certain clothes or dangle scripture verses, all the different things that they were supposed to do was to set them apart.
Right.
You need to look different, which I think is the whole wear a Christian t-shirt idea. And that's kind of what I told this lady after church on Sunday, is I said, they were doing that so that they would be set apart. We are called to be set apart as well,
right,
to look different for different reasons. So God was establishing a principle, some wisdom that we can adopt into our own culture in a unique way that is different. So I think wearing a Christian t-shirt is similar to women not cutting their hair or men cutting their hair, because this was the way that they were showing they were different.
Yeah, the way that I do it is I get on YouTube and social media and I find everything I disagree with about other Christians, and then I post it and post it and post it. Because they need to know.
You call every pastor you disagree with a heretic.
Yes, that's the first thing I do.
Yeah. Prioritize attacking each other, and you will represent
aggression
Christ
will not
well.
Stand.
That will definitely bring people to Jesus, for yeah. sure. That's a great ministry. Right.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like your model.
No, I don't really use social media, but then the bummer part is like, that is, I am on YouTube, and you do see Christians attacking other Christians. And I really do feel like it's more for clicks, because it's kind of the model.
Yep.
So it's like the clickbaity aggressive title, and like a video about grace
yeah.
is really, it's going to get not a ton of,
yep,
not a ton of views.
Yeah.
So,
it's not entertainment. It's truth. So it's helpful. It's wisdom, but it's right. not entertaining.
So like people say, I'm evangelizing, or I am showing I'm wearing my Christian t-shirt on social media. I was like, yeah, but it's not a good look.
Yeah.
It's not a good look for you. So I'm working on it, guys. I'm just not there yet.
I think every title of any Ben Shapiro, for some reason they pop up on my YouTube all the time. Everyone is like, Ben Shapiro's
destroys
such and such person. I'm like, yeah. we need way better titles yeah. for our YouTube videos.
Right.
This one I was going to have, Paul destroys Mike, something like that.
Can we just make that one of our thumbnails sometime, like me yeah. punching you?
Yeah. Mike destroys no Mish. Like, we don't care. No one liked him anyway.
I think this week can serve as an encouragement for us to, number one, renew our minds and allow our way not to be our way, but God's way.
Mm.
And so, God, if you lead me somewhere that's uncomfortable, if you lead me somewhere where I didn't predict to go,
yeah.
That even if an hour before I say I'll never do something, I will predict that someday I'll be tempted to do something I'm not. I'll predict that someday I'll be challenged by an idea. Right. So rather than seeing myself as a hoarder of Christian truth, I am the supreme knowledge of what God is and who God is. I think part of the reason we look the way we do on social media, sometimes we see ourselves as the authority,
right,
rather than God. We come into every conversation as this author of truth rather than following. I think the reason why Jesus picked Peter, knowing that Peter was going to screw up, knowing that Peter was going to deny him. But Jesus picked Peter for that thing when he says, you didn't learn this from any human being, you learned this from God. It's because Peter had decided at some point, and he wasn't perfect, but he had decided, I'm going to follow your way, I'm going to follow your ideas,
right,
even when they challenge mine.
Right.
And when you do that, more and more, you will be sanctified, and you will get to the place where your entire life is your faith, not a segment. Everything about you is your faith. And you don't have to wear a Christian t-shirt for people to know that you're a Christian, because it will be your identity.
Right.
It will be who you are. And I think that's the ultimate goal for all of us.
Yeah. Yeah. And with that, guys, get your Christian t-shirts out of your closets, off the shelves, slap them on your bodies, Don.
I'm really trying to start a Christian t-shirt as company.
Thank you. I was wanting to put, okay, guys, so if you would go to ChristianShirtsRock.net.
.us.
I have an amazing new one that has a hymnal and an eagle combining together.
What's it called?
Sing Freedom. If you like this video today, if you like this, thank you for joining us, guys. Mike.
It's been good.
It's been a lot of fun.
It was fun.
If you guys enjoyed it, would you please give this a thumbs up, right? If you didn't like it, click thumbs down twice. Please.
It'll help the algorithm.
Just helps. It helps us know that you didn't like it. Also, subscribe so that you can get notifications next week and all the weeks to come that this will be happening. And please share it with friends, family members, enemies. Share it with people. We would appreciate that very much. It helps get the word out. And thanks for joining us. Do you got anything to add?
I think that's it.
Do the Bennies.
Next week, Jesus loves you unconditionally, and he died to give you new life.